Well, right up there with St. Paul in terms of being one of the most influential people to have shaped Western civilization is St. Augustine, who lived from the year 356 to the year 430. One of the things that we do as priests and religious and more lay faithful are also doing it as we pray what's called the Liturgy of the Hours. And one of these hours has what is called the Office of Readings. And in the Office of Readings, there's always a portion of a writing from one of the great saints of the church's tradition. And last week, on the last day of the Christian year, the second reading in the Office of Readings was from a homily by St. Augustine. And this is a beautiful homily. I always look forward to this reading because I know it now well enough that, oh, it's the last reading of the church year. And in it, he talks about how in heaven we sing a song that is the heavenly song. And it is a song that is free from adversity. But here below, as we continue to live in this world, we sing a song of anxiety. So he talks about these two kinds of songs. And let me read the last part of the homily. Oh, the happiness of the heavenly song, sung in security, in fear of no adversity. We shall have no enemies in heaven. We shall never lose a friend. God's praises are sung both there and here. But here they are sung by those who are destined to die. There, by those who are destined to live forever. Here, the song is sung in hope. There, in hope's fulfillment. Here, the song is sung by wayfarers. There, by those who are living in their own country. What beautiful prose, the way in which he's able to so beautifully articulate the theme that is really at the heart of our readings for today, and in a special way, at the heart of that psalm. The psalm that we sang this evening is the psalm of people who are in exile. They are far away in the land of Babylon. And they're longing for a homecoming, to return home. And so they say that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. To sing, how important it is. And now, how many months has it been when we have not been able to give voice in song to the Lord in the Mass? In a very particular way, this year and last year, these last 21 months, we have been singing the song of anxiety. And it has since been a song that has been curtailed. And how blessed we are to have our musicians who can lead us in song. But I don't know if you have the same feeling that I do. I just want to sing. Especially now. The songs of Advent. How we miss our choirs. How we miss the fullness of what it is to be the people of God. So we understand what St. Augustine means when he says, here below, ours is a song of anxiety. But in heaven, oh, in heaven, it will be greater than the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Oh, in heaven, it is going to be most remarkable in terms of the song that we are going to sing. But here below, we live with the reality of what it is to live in this world and all of the complexities of what that means. But here's the beautiful thing for us as Christian people. This is our story. And in today's gospel, we hear it in a particular way. Luke is the only gospel writer who does this, who so clearly focuses the ministry of Jesus within the context of the history of his day. And what we're told is a very clear marker that helps us to understand exactly when it was that John the Baptist began to proclaim and make way for Jesus. We're told it was in the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius. Let me tell you a little something about Tiberius. We know about him from a historian whose name was Suetonius, and he wrote a book called The Lives of the Caesars. So he reigned from the year 14 AD until the year 37 AD. In other words, Tiberius was the emperor throughout the majority of our Lord's earthly life. And here it being the 15th year of his reign, This was the year 29 AD. Now, Suetonius tells us something about Tiberius Caesar. He was one of the most debauched of all the emperors, and that's saying a lot when you think of Nero and Caligula. But during Tiberius's reign, although it was a peaceful time in the world of Rome, not if you were anywhere near or close to Tiberius. He was depraved in his mind. He was known for public displays of sexual immorality. He murdered anyone who would not commend and support him in all of the debauchery that he did. And he was the most important person in the world. And he was the emperor from 14 AD to 37 AD. Can you imagine living under that kind of prime minister? That's what it was like. But that's not all. We're told that his life ended in a kind of terrible way. He was smothered to death in his bed. So that's Tiberius. Now, we know a little bit more about Pontius Pilate because he shows up in the Gospels in a more particular way. But let me just share another something about him. This is from another historian from a place called Alexandria by the name of Philo. Not like the pastry. And this is what Philo says about Pilate. Pilate's corruption and his acts of insolence, his violent seizure of people's property, and his habit of insulting people, and his cruelty, and his continual murders of people untried and uncondemned, and his never-ending and gratuitous and almost grievous inhumanity. That's the world at the time of Jesus' public ministry. Oh, but let me just mention two other names that you've perhaps heard of before that Luke mentions. Annas and Caiaphas. They were the two high priests, right, in Jerusalem. They're the religious people. They're the good Jewish leaders. Well, another Jewish historian by the name of Josephus tells us that both of them were deposed from their high priesthood for various wicked acts in which they engaged. Like, the news has always been bad. Always. It's not unique to today. And so Augustine gets it so right. Yeah, you're right. Here below, we sing a song of anxiety. But here's the word of God. The word of the God didn't come to any of the people who were in the news. No, the word of God came to John, the cousin of Jesus, in the wilderness. And that's the thing about the gospel. The gospel has a way of coming to us in the wilderness. The wilderness, it's a key theme in the Old Testament. The wilderness, you need to understand it this way. Back in the year 722 BC, the 10 northern tribes in the area that was called Israel were lost forever. They're called the lost tribes of Israel, never to be reestablished. And about 125 years later, the two southern tribes, they also dispersed. And within the prophetic imagination, there was this vision that the prophets had that someday in the wilderness, God would bring about a return. Now, Baruch, from whom Tom read this evening, was the scribe of Jeremiah the prophet. And you'll know that Jeremiah, that's a really big book. Baruch is a really small book. It's only 5 chapters long, and we heard from the 5th chapter this evening. But in this reading, Baruch speaks about how the wilderness is going to play a particular role in bringing about a work of God. Listen again to these words. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height, look toward the east, and see your children gathered from the west, the east, at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies. The enemies are the Babylonians and the Assyrians who dispersed them, who took them away from the Holy Land. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and everlasting hills he made low, and that the valleys be filled up and a way be made level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. This is the first ring road being described here. That what God is going to do is a work that through the desert, he's going to make a highway so that the people can return home. One of the reasons why Jesus was rejected by so many of his contemporary Jewish people was because they thought this was going to happen literally, and it didn't. That Jesus wasn't going to bring about a reconstitution of the 12 tribes of Israel as they had originally been established, but through the proclamation of St. John the Baptist, through the establishing of the church, the new Israel, he would bring together a citizenry that realize that we are in exile and that the whole of our earthly journey is a desert journey everywhere, but that we're on a journey towards that promised land, that journey towards that place where we will sing with Augustine the song of security, because we have a destiny and we have a hope. Another one who knew a lot of bad news was St. Paul. If you were in jail, what kind of a letter would you write? Listen to the kind of letter St. Paul writes while he's in jail. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful confidence he has. Although he's behind Roman bars, nothing can bar the heart and the hope of the Apostle Paul. And in writing to the Philippians, he is aware that they are on a journey, and God will bring to completion that which he has started. Listen to how he goes on to talk about what God will complete in the latter part of that reading. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness. That's what Advent is all about, to remind us of where we are in the desert, where we're going, we're on a journey, but that God is at work in you, and he's going to bring about to completion that harvest of righteousness which he has started. But such a work happens always in a world like this, where people with the names like Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, Annas and Caiaphas are always making the news. And you know as well as I do, beloved brothers and sisters, if we allow the news to be the thing that primarily defines us, you're going to feel hopeless. You're going to be discouraged. But that's not the news that is foremost in our mind, because there's a way that the Word of God comes to the likes of St. John the Baptist. There's a way that the Word of God continues to be proclaimed down through 2,000 years in every society, through every crisis, through every difficulty, and nothing can shut up the voice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, on the second Sunday of Advent, the Church invites you and me to remember that in this world of bad news, there is the good news, that we are on a journey home. And it's here in the wilderness that God, through his prophets, through his church, through his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, comes to us still, that as we sing anxiety's song here below in the land of our exile, won't it be amazing when we finally are no longer wayfarers, but we are heaven citizens, and for unending ages, we will sing the song of security, a song so beautifully anticipated in today's psalm. And with these words, I conclude. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Never forget, my beloved brothers and sisters, that we are a singing people. And even though our voices might be silenced now for a time, they will not be silenced forever.